Nay, more. They are totally unlike in meaning. A friend loves you, of course, but one who loves you is not in every case your friend. Friendship, accordingly, is always helpful, but love sometimes even does harm. Try to perfect yourself, if for no other reason, in order that you may learn how to love. Hasten, therefore, in order that, while thus perfecting yourself for my benefit, you may not have learned perfection for the benefit of another. To be sure, I am already deriving some profit by imagining that we two shall be of one mind, and that whatever portion of my strength has yielded to age will return to me from your strength, although there is not so very much difference in our ages. But yet I wish to rejoice in the accomplished fact. We feel a joy over those whom we love, even when separated from them. But such a joy is light and fleeting. The sight of a man, and his presence, and communion with him, affords something of living pleasure. This is true, at any rate, if one not only sees the man one desires, but the sort of man one desires. Give yourself to me, therefore, as a gift of great price, and, that you may strive the more, reflect that you yourself are mortal, and that I am old. Hasten to find me, but hasten to find yourself first. Make progress, and, before all else, endeavor to be consistent with yourself, and when you would find out whether you have accomplished anything, consider whether you desire the same things today that you desired yesterday. A shifting of the will indicates that the mind is at sea, heading in various directions, according to the course of the wind. But that which is settled and solid does not wander from its place. This is the blessed lot of the completely wise man, and also, to a certain extent, of him who is progressing and has made some headway. Now, what is the difference between these two classes of men? The one is in motion, to be sure, but does not change its position. It merely tosses up and down where it is. The other is not in motion at all. Farewell. Letter 36. On the Value of Retirement. Encourage your friend to despise stout-heartedly those who upbraid him because he has sought the shade of retirement and has abdicated his career of honors and, though he might have attained more, has preferred tranquility to them all. Let him prove daily to these detractors how wisely he has looked out for his own interests. Those whom men envy will continue to march past him. Some will be pushed out of the ranks, and others will fall. Prosperity is a turbulent thing. It torments itself. It stirs the brain in more ways than one, goading men on to various aims, some to power, and others to high living. Some it puffs up, others it slackens and wholly enervates. But the retort comes. So-and-so carries his prosperity well. Yes, just as he carries his liquor. So you need not let this class of men persuade you that one who is besieged by the crowd is happy. They run to him as crowds rush for a pool of water, rendering it muddy while they drain it. But you say, men call our friend a trifler and a sluggard. There are men you know whose speech is awry, who use the contrary terms. They called him happy. What of it? Was he happy? Even the fact that to certain persons he seems a man of a very rough and gloomy cast of mind does not trouble me. Aristo used to say that he preferred a youth of stern disposition to one who was a jolly fellow and agreeable to the crowd. For, he added, wine which, when new, seemed harsh and sour, becomes good wine. But that which tasted well at the vintage cannot stand age. So let them call him stern, and a foe to his own advancement. It is just this sternness that will go well when it is aged, provided only that he continues to cherish virtue and to absorb thoroughly the studies which make for culture, not those with which it is sufficient for a man to sprinkle himself, but those in which the mind should be steeped. Now is the time to learn. What? Is there any time when a man should not learn? By no means. But just as it is creditable for every age to study, so it is not creditable for every age to be instructed. An old man learning his ABC is a disgraceful and absurd object. The young man must store up, the old man must use. You will therefore be doing a thing most helpful to yourself if you make this friend of yours as good a man as possible. Those kindnesses, they tell us, are to be both sought for and bestowed, which benefit the giver no less than the receiver, and they are unquestionably the best kind. Finally, he has no longer any freedom in the matter. He has pledged his word, and it is less disgraceful to compound with a creditor than to compound with a promising future. To pay his debt of money, the businessman must have a prosperous voyage. The farmer must have fruitful fields and kindly weather. But the debt which your friend owes can be completely paid by mere goodwill. Fortune has no jurisdiction over character. Let him so regulate his character that in perfect peace he may bring to perfection that spirit within him which feels neither loss nor gain, but remains in the same attitude, no matter how things fall out. A spirit like this, if it is heaped with worldly goods, rises superior to its wealth. If, on the other hand, chance has stripped him of a part of his wealth, or even all, it is not impaired. If your friend had been born in Parthia, he would have begun when a child to bend the bow. If in Germany, he would forthwith have been brandishing his slender spear. If he had been born in the days of our forefathers, he would have learned to ride a horse and smite his enemy hand to hand. These are the occupations which the system of each race recommends to the individual, yes, prescribes for him. To what, then, shall this friend of yours devote his attention? I say, let him learn that which is helpful against all weapons, against every kind of foe. Contempt of death. Because no one doubts that death has in it something that inspires terror, so that it shocks even our souls, which nature has so molded that they love their own existence. For otherwise, there would be no need to prepare ourselves, and to whet our courage, to face that towards which we should move with a sort of voluntary instinct, precisely as all men tend to preserve their existence. No man learns a thing in order